Yes, amen. Well, we want to continue talking about the war, the warfare that we are in. We are in constant warfare, and I want to share some more from the Word of God today, particularly the experiences of David. Maybe we'll get into Joshua, some of the things from there too today. It depends on how far we get. But the Lord has been showing us some things, and as we see these practical, real-life situations of warfare, okay, in the Word of God, we know that it's not just flesh, okay, that's warring against flesh. The Word of God is quite clear, and we've shared that several weeks ago, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. They're not flesh. There is not much that we can do in our flesh to win spiritual battles. Amen? But the examples that we have in the Word are speaking to the battle of our soul, I believe. Okay? And I think we need to be explicit in explaining how this comes about and how we fight this battle. Just to hear, we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 where David takes on Goliath. But just to read a story of David running with a slingshot and hitting Goliath in the forehead and the giant falls down and all that. Just that, okay, that's a nice children's story, you can say. But there's more to it than that. God has more lesson for us than just a historical thing that a little boy took a giant down. Okay, actually he was a big boy, but nevertheless he was a boy that took a giant down. And I want to see some things that I believe God is saying to us, because there is a war against the saints of God. Okay? There's a particular war that the enemy has for the saints, more so than he has for those who are unsaved. The devil does not need to fight against the unsaved people. He already has them. They're prisoners. He's got them all locked up. All he has to do is give them a few occasional pleasures and whatever it is, just keep them bound, keep them so-called happy. Yeah, they're not really happy, but keep them thinking that they're happy. Keep them thinking that there's nothing better. Keep them thinking that Christians are really deceived and going the wrong way. Keep them thinking thoughts like that. But there's not a real warfare against them. Now, the enemy brings war against the saints, not because he necessarily believes that he can drive you out of the kingdom of God, and in some cases he probably can, okay? But for the most part, to prevent you from living a full life in Christ, amen? You know, the whole thing of the Canaan land, coming out of Egypt, coming across the desert, the wilderness, coming into the Canaan land, it wasn't just so they would have some real estate, that they could practice agriculture. That wasn't what it was all about, okay? It was really about bringing people out of bondage, bringing people out of bondage of their soul, amen, and bringing them into the fullness of the kingdom of God. That's what the message is all about, amen? So let's go and take a little look at David here. David is an overcomer. David is a picture of the sons of God. David is a picture of those who will rule and reign with Christ. Brethren, the Word of God says that if we are overcomers, amen, overcomers, we will rule and reign with Christ. Amen? Now, the point is, what is it that we need to overcome, and what is it that we need to rule over? Amen?
Amen.
It's not just picking up guns and going down there and occupying this and occupy that and campaign for women's rights, babies' rights, whatever, civil rights. It's not surrounding an abortion clinic and carrying signs around it and chanting slogans and what have you. It's not politics. It's not the drive to do this one or that one. That's not what it's all about. Amen? It's about obtaining the kingdom of God in my soul and living in victory above the forces of darkness. Hallelujah. Now, we need to know what the tactics of Satan are. All right, so the story of David here in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, you know the story, but let me talk about it a little bit, okay? 17th chapter, 1 Samuel. The giant Goliath had come out against the people of God, amen? And he was throwing insults at God's people. Sounds like the devil, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amen? And he was challenging them, and he was saying, "Send me a man to fight with us." And of course, he was saying, "If I win, we will rule over you. If your man kills me, we will all be your slaves." Now, by the way, that was a lie, wasn't it? David got him, but the Philistines didn't all come and bow at their feet and say, "Okay, we're your slaves now. Do whatever you want with us. You know, we'll never cause you trouble again, forever and ever, world without it." No, that is not what happened. So the devil, he might throw a challenge, but half of his challenge is a lie. And sometimes all of it.
Yeah.
All right? Now, the devil, I've been thinking a little bit about what the devil does. Revelation chapter 12 says that they overcame him by what?
The testimony.
The blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death.
Right.
You see, the third ingredient has to be in there.
Right.
It's a good start, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
It's a good process, the word of our testimony.
Amen.
And you can start overcoming, but you're never going to finish the job until you love not your life unto death.
Right.
And by the way, if you read that in the Greek, it says they love not their souls.
Right.
What is the problem with our souls? Vanity is one of the problems, isn't it? Oh, I can't do that. I'll be embarrassed. I can't, you know. No, and what is it that they overcame?
Themselves.
They overcame the accuser of the brethren. Did you hear me?
Yes.
They overcame the accuser. Who is the accuser?
The devil.
The devil. And what does he accuse the brethren of?
Everything.
Yes, good thought. Everything he accuses. Now, by the way, is he a liar?
Yes.
Yes, he's a liar. But you know what? I'm thinking about that this morning as we were praising the Lord. Some of the things he accuses us of, they're not true, but they're factual. The reason I'm saying they're not true is if they're under the blood of Jesus Christ, God doesn't see them anymore. But the devil has a memory and he remembers them. He remembers they are fact. Listen, I remember, he'll tell you, call to your remembrance, he'll say to you. Back there 10 years ago, when you did thus and thus. Is it right? Did you do thus and thus? You probably did. But it's under the blood of Jesus Christ, therefore he's a liar.
Amen.
Okay? God has wiped it out as far as the east is from the west. And therefore, what is the purpose of the enemy bringing these accusations back again against us? To drive you down.
Yes.
To drive you down to the point where you will not rise up and overcome. You'll never stick your head up again for fear it'll be shot. That's exactly what it's about. Keep you down under the hole. Remember the history of World War One? Now you weren't alive. I know that. None of us were alive. Some of us were alive during World War II, but World War I was different. It was all across Europe, France, Germany. What was it? Trenches.
Yeah.
Trench warfare.
Yeah.
And the men that were fighting, they would live in these trenches. I mean, they were tunnels built in the earth that went down as high as a man is tall. And occasionally, if ever a man stuck his head above the trench, he got it. Which is the enemy's tactic. Stick your head up and you're going to get it.
They made special guns that they would down here and just the gun would be showing.
Yeah.
Like a mirror. And they could pull the trigger.
Yeah, they had little periscopes to do it. The story was told that they had little peek holes where they could look and see what the enemy, and there was an unpopular officer that came into the trenches one day, and he says, "What's going on now down here?" And some of the soldiers said to him, "Well, if you just want to take a look at this little hole here, you can see what's going on." Well, the Germans had, the Germans I'll say, they were the enemy.
Yeah.
They had their gun trained right on that hole. And as soon as anything moved, the bullet went right through. And of course, it took out the unfavorable officer. He was not very well liked. So, the enemy's tactic. All right.
Yeah.
Get to David here, all right? And it says here, verse 51, let me go back further. Then said David to the... How far back do I want to go? All right, verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Disdained. He belittled him. Said, "Who are you? You're just little. You know, you don't amount to anything. Who do you think you are that you can overcome, that you can rise above this sin, that you can rise above this besetting problem? Who do you think you are? You're inexperienced. I mean, you're young. You're nobody. I'll chew you up and spit you up." Yeah, that's basically what he did. "You're a little guy." Amen. "He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance." Some say that David was probably a little redhead with freckles. That's what that ruddy might mean. Okay. And a fair countenance. He didn't have the nice tan skin of the other fellows that were, you know, his family and his brethren. "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" That means sticks. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. He cursed him.
That's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah. "Come against me with sticks." Yeah, so I don't know that David had a stick. He had a sling. And basically he was saying to him, "You're coming against me like you'd come against a dog. You're going to chase a dog away. Who do you think I am?" And of course Satan is very proud, isn't he?
Yeah.
He thinks he's really the best. And this giant Goliath, he really believed he was the ultimate champion, that nobody could beat him. Okay? "And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Now, here's David's response. Okay? "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear." Weapons of our warfare, carnal. You're coming against me with carnal weapons, okay? "And with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." They overcame by what?
The word of
their testimony, the blood of the Lamb. I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. What does that mean, the Lord of hosts? What kind of hosts?
Gathering.
Amen. The armies of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Michael fought against the devil, and his angels fought. And they, devil and his angels prevailed not. And there was found no more place for them in heaven, and they were cast down. And this is what's about to happen, because David is calling upon the host of heaven. When you come in the name of the God of the hosts of heaven, you're calling on Michael. You are calling on the mighty angels of warfare to come to your assistance. Don't forget that when you get into trouble. Amen? Hallelujah. And the God, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You didn't just run me down by calling me a dog and telling me that you're going to feed me to the birds of the air. You know what birds he meant. The vultures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the pigeons.
Right.
Not the chickadees.
Yeah.
Vulture food.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You didn't just insult me. You insulted God.
Amen.
Amen. This day, see, David is walking in faith. This day, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. No, you're not going to have next month. You're not going to have tomorrow. This day. I believe the Spirit of the Lord stirred David to say what he said. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I like that. You're going to be delivered into my hand this day. But David knew it was God's hand. Amen. And I will smite thee.
Amen.
Smite. I will strike you. You're going down, man. You're going down. Hallelujah. And I will take thy head from thee. Wow. Listen, do you know how this man was armored?
Yeah.
He had a helmet of bronze. I mean, these bronze helmets had these things that went down your neck so that somebody couldn't come up from behind, and you just whack that big bronze thing, it wouldn't just ding, you know. He was covered with chain mail so that you couldn't get a sword through. Have you ever seen chain mail?
Yeah.
It's just a whole bunch of chains that are all together in a mesh.
They use it for sharks now too, divers do.
Yeah. He had shin guards so that he wasn't going to hurt his little shins.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he was covered. And not only that, he had a guy that carried his spear or a shield for him.
I wonder what he was like without the armor.
Well, he's probably a bully.
Probably a mouse.
Anyway, all right. He says, and I will and take thy head from thee and give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. In other words, devil, it isn't just you that's going down. It's all your cronies.
Yep.
That are working with you that are going down too.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
All right? And the birds, the fowls of the air. You know, this is also a type of demons.
Yeah. Yep.
The demons are going to consume the enemies of God.
Yep.
Eventually.
Amen.
Demons of hell.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And to the wild beasts of the earth. Those wild beasts. Do you know they had wild beasts in Israel the same as they have in Africa?
Well,
in these days,
spiritual wild beast out there.
They had wolves. They had bears.
I've seen.
You know, there's no bears in Israel anymore. They had lions. The lions are only down in Africa,
right?
Across the Red Sea,
yeah.
But they were there.
Thanks.
And I believe they had what are those horrible things? Those what's the name of those? Big mouth, Africa, hyenas.
Oh.
I wouldn't be surprised they had hyenas. When he said the beasts, the wild beasts, I tell you, I have never seen such a demonic looking animal as these hyenas.
Yeah, they're ugly.
Oh.
And they sound awful.
Evil creatures. Amen.
They look a little like dogs.
Yeah.
They look a lot like devils.
Oh.
And you know, there's actually an animal in New Zealand, Tasmania, called Tasmanian devils. It's called a Tasmanian devil. It is so wicked.
Yeah.
So wicked.
Yeah.
There's a dragon.
Yeah.
In that area too.
Yep. Yep.
Horrible, filthy. I mean, pictures of demonic things. In these animals. anyway, he says, and he's going to give them, you see, not just Goliath, but the rest of the Philistines, he says, they're going to give you to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven.
Amen.
You suppose the reputation of what God did is going to go out in the earth?
Yes.
Brethren, I'm telling you, the things that are coming on the earth today, the way the devil is rising up in every aspect of our life, I tell you, there's going to be an overcoming of the sons of God, and all the earth is going to know that there is a victory in Jesus Christ. All the earth is going to know. Every knee is going to bow. And you know what? I don't believe these knees are all going to be bowing because of their love for God. They're going to be brought down, voluntary or involuntary. You will bow your knee.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I look forward to these devils bowing their knee.
Amen. Yeah.
Not only the devil, these liberals, they laugh at God.
Yes, the atheists, the people that don't believe in God, they're making a joke of it.
Real liberal.
You know, fine, take away the crucifix, take away the Christmas thing, fine, that doesn't bother me. But what does bother me is your attitude toward Jesus Christ. All right? And that God is going to deal with someday too. Amen. He will prove that He is God. And they are going to have to acknowledge that He is God.
Amen.
Oh, bless the Lord. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Now, I don't know how far away David was when they started this conversation. Oh, who are you coming against me with, you know, sticks and stuff? And no, that's not the way it's going. They were quite a distance from each other. And they began shouting these things back and forth to each other. Well, when the Philistine finally says, okay, let's go, we're going to get this little fella, David didn't run away.
No.
He ran toward
him. He ran toward him.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Now listen to me. Let's get practical about this. This is a giant.
Yeah. And we got them around us too.
What are the giants in your life?
Yeah, right. I know.
Could we make some lists?
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about what are these spirits? The point is, I don't know that I've got David in me yet. I don't know that I run toward a giant.
Uh-huh.
I wait until the giant is over me. No, this is my natural flesh.
Uh-huh.
My natural flesh says, leave that dog sleep. Don't kick at him. He's going to bite. You know?
Yeah. Fear.
And we're ready to fight when the dog is snarling and pulling at our pant legs.
The Spirit of God will tell you when.
Yeah. But David ran.
Yeah.
It was to meet this thing.
It was under God's anointing through that.
Now, I noticed that later on in David's life, David didn't run to meet the spirit of murder and the spirit of adultery. He waited for the prophet to come and say, thou art the man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there are things of flesh that we need to deal with.
Right.
And some of them, F-L-E, yeah, that's spelled right. And some of them are giants.
I toy with them.
Well, what are they?
I test them.
What are they? There's
lust.
There's, well, let's just write some of them. There's alcohol.
Yep. Yeah. There's people, too.
There's drugs.
Mine are people.
Well, let's get the flesh part first. Alcohol, drugs, food. Come on, give me some more. Well, that isn't all. That isn't the only thing that troubles people's flesh. Let's put vanity here, too. That's flesh, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How do I look?
You look good today.
That's not where I'm going, Luann. It's not where I'm going. All right, now let's talk about the soulish.
Rita takes good care of you.
The soulish part of things, okay? people that have problems in some of these areas, do you run after the giant?
No.
Take an alcoholic.
They're addicted heavy duty.
What is it that causes a drug addict, an alcoholic, what is it causes them to say, I'm gonna beat this giant? This thing is too big in my life. It overwhelms everything else in my life. Have you known alcoholics and lived with them personally?
Cigarettes.
Yeah, okay, let's add that.
Yeah.
Nicotine.
Yeah.
I'll just call it tobacco.
It's a spirit. It is a spirit.
But what causes a person to rise up against these things? Usually the thing that happens is we are in so much trouble over it that we just say to ourselves, one day we say, listen, this thing's going to destroy me.
Right.
I mean, let's take, you know, the alcoholic. He's been arrested. I mean, his license has been taken away. I mean, they put him in a clinic to dry out. He's been stubborn. He's been resistive. He says, no, I don't want to. He's homeless. He has no money. His marriage is broke up. Come on and on and on with the problems that some of these things cause. This one, too. You can break your marriages up from this.
A lot of them commit suicide.
And adultery and fornication, what have you. When a man, okay, you can say he comes to Christ. And he says, I'm going to clean everything up. But you know, you're still going to have to overcome that spirit.
Yeah.
Okay? All right, let's get over onto the soulish side. Well, you mentioned one. Pride. Pride. Do you go after pride with the vengeance of David? Problem is, you don't see it. You don't realize you're proud. Jesus said that people that have these problems are more likely to be in the kingdom of God than people that have these problems.
Right. Righteousness.
Harlots.
Yep.
Prostitutes, street people, alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
They are more apt to come into the kingdom of God than religious pride people.
Right.
Religious pride.
Mm-hmm. Religion these days does show us where we can be prideful and religious. The conviction of the Holy Spirit does.
Yes. So it takes the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But again, my question is, do we attack them with the same tenacity that David and Joshua attacked the enemies of God?
Most people have it done wrong.
That's right. Because the devil hides our eyes to say, you're not proud. You're just wonderful. I mean, you see, he lies. He lies.
And he does lie.
You're just special.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He'll make good.
You can add more to this list. You know. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
What do we got here? We've got hatred. What else? Oh come on. You know these spirits. I'm sure you know. Jealousy.
Fear.
Oh my. Thank you for mentioning that. Do you know that? That is a big one in some people's lives.
Yeah.
And you know, it can be a giant.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How do you overcome?
I don't know. I wonder. Because, you know, I don't even think it's that you fear. It's what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
What you use it in, you know, how you use it in your mind. Or, because you can have a healthy fear of God, but at the same time, you know, like, some people are afraid to fail, so they don't try.
Yeah, there's a difference between the fear of God,
yeah,
which is a good kind of fear,
mm-hmm,
and just the phobias.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't go outdoors. I've got outdoor phobia.
Yeah, you know. Pretty sick people.
Oh, a spider. Oh, spider. You know.
Right.
Spider phobia. You know. I mean, I'm just giving examples of these kind of things. People get unzipped. I mean, they just go bonkers over some of these fears. And we have to overcome them. Brethren, they have to be overcome. They are from the devil. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and
power
and a sound mind. So how do we overcome fear? Love, power, sound mind. All right, let's get back to David here a minute. And David put, verse 49, David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. There was one spot on his armor where a stone could get through.
My daughter knocks people out with that spot.
Right there.
There it is.
Right there. And not only that, but the stone sunk in. I don't know how hard David had to throw that thing. You know, I heard somebody preaching about David one time. And I don't know. David, I'm sure, was pretty good with that slingshot. It's not one of these rubber things that you pull back, you know, and like that. It's a thing with two strings and a pouch,
yeah.
And they swing this thing, and they let go of one of the strings.
Oh, wow.
Just one of the strings has to be let go, and when that lets go, the stone that's in the pouch flies. So you have to learn to let go of that thing. Just to, it's like that.
The angels were
guiding that stone. I heard somebody preaching about this one time, and they said, it don't matter whether David let go of that thing in the wrong direction. It would have still found that giant's forehead. Yeah, it was God guiding that stone. And that stone had to hit precisely in the right spot.
Amen.
All right, now let's go on here.
God was speaking to David.
Yeah, and David, he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David.
Amen.
There was no carnal weapon.
Yes, right.
Amen. In spiritual language, it's hard to call a slingshot a carnal weapon. Sword is carnal weapon. Not many warriors go to battle with slingshots. You know, can you imagine an army of 1,000 soldiers and they're all carrying slingshots? Say, man, these are cavemen coming to war here.
He had to be real good with that slingshot because that's where he chased the animals.
Yeah, he chased these beasts that were coming after his sheep, and he would whack them with these stones.
Yeah.
So, okay. Therefore, now here's the part I'm looking for. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine. Now notice the posture. Where was the Philistine?
On the ground.
Under his what?
Feet.
Mm-hmm. Where does the enemy belong?
Under our feet. Amen.
Okay. Stood upon the Philistine and took his sword.
Mm-hmm.
What was he doing?
Taking
the devil's weapons. Okay. Amen. And drew it out of its sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou comest to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. That's a Philistine city, by the way. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sheraim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. All right. Now, this Gath and Ekron and Gaza is another one of the Philistine cities. It still has the same names today. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Gaza Strip?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Yeah.
Same place. Same place, same people. It's right on the coast. And it's a wicked place today.
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, yes. Very wicked. Now, they spoil them. I want to go to Luke 11.
that was my next chapter to read.
Luke 11. Well, we'll get part of it for you. Luke 11. And we'll go to verse 17. Now, the Pharisees had been accusing Jesus of casting out demons through Beelzebub. Beelzebub, the prince of demons. In other words, he's saying, well, you're using the devil to cast devils out of people. Now, that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Because Jesus is saying, wait a minute, Satan is stupid, but he's not that stupid. You know, his house is not divided. Satan's house is united. And we could probably learn something from that. Because the house of God is not that united.
Right.
What couldn't we do if the people of God were really united? All right. So, we come to, let's see, I'm going to read, start in verse 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If your house is divided, it isn't going to stand. Okay? If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. Well, the point is, their sons weren't casting out devils. Period. But Jesus was. But if I, now let's go on, with the finger of God cast out devils. Do you see the finger of God here? Mm-hmm. With the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Mm-hmm. So he's saying to them, listen, the kingdom is here. You've seen the power of the kingdom of God. You've seen the power of the finger of God.
Right.
When, now here's the principle, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Goliath, for 40 days he was threatening Israel. Mm-hmm. His kingdom was, shall we say, in peace. All his goods were in order. All the dominion and the reigning of the Philistines, they could threaten Israel and they could intimidate them. They could probably extract taxes from them and get bribes from them, okay? Because they were rulers. So the principle here is a strong man armed. He's armed with his weapons, okay? Fully armed, okay, and he guards his place, okay, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him, in this case, who is the stronger? Jesus Christ. All right? In the case of David, who was the stronger?
David
was the stronger. Amen? Not because of his size, not because of his physical might, but because of the spiritual authority and power that he had over the enemy. All right. So it says, but when a stronger than he is come upon him and overcomes him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. And that's exactly what happened here in 1 Samuel. When David took this Goliath down, first of all, he took his weapon. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know that David used that weapon later on. Did you know that? He came to, when Saul was chasing him, the sword of Goliath was kept in the temple, or it was actually a tabernacle at that time. And was it Abimelech or Ahimelech? I forget just how. The priest, the high priest there. Anyway, he asked him, is there any weapons here? And the priest said, yes, the sword of Goliath is here.
Wow.
And David said, give it to me, I need it.
So that
weapon, the things that the enemy has used against you, you're going to use against him.
Amen. Yeah.
All right? The very weapons. You know, the devil comes and he's the accuser of the brethren. Yeah. He accuses you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I did one time when the devil was accusing me? I said, listen, devil, let me tell you what's going to happen to you in the end. I have eternal life waiting for me.
Right.
But you have nothing but hell fire waiting for you. Now let me talk about the goodness and the glory of God. I want to tell you about the brightness of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about the glory of His kingdom. Amen. I want to tell you, hallelujah, about how the overcomers are going to, you know what? He's gone. He didn't want to hear about it.
He didn't want to hear good stuff.
The weapons. Amen. He's accusing me. All right, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. I'm going to tell you how the saints of God are going to overcome in this world. He's gone. Didn't want to hear that. You want to know how to drive the devil away? Start talking about Jesus Christ. Talk about the goodness of God.
Amen.
Talk about the glory of God.
Amen.
He's gone. Depression's gone. Fear's gone.
Yes.
Hatred's gone. I mean, all those things are gone. They disappear. They don't have any power to stand before the glories of God.
Right.
So remind him.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, that was, there's another verse in Isaiah 49, verse 24. I'm sure you know this verse. Amen. I believe, Sister Rita, it's got to be one of your favorites.
That's a great passage.
Yes. Isaiah 49, come on. Shall the prey, let's start with verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Now, when Satan had you in bondage because you were a sinner, you were a lawful captive.
Yeah.
He had every legal right to make you his slave.
Yep.
Why? Because you were obeying him. You were doing whatever he asked you to do. He told you to sin, you were doing it.
You didn't know him.
You didn't know that, but you were a lawful captive.
Right.
Okay? Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, from the giant, or the lawful captive delivered?
Mm-hmm.
He bought you.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? But you know what? When Jesus bought you with his blood and you received that, then you became
a new creation.
A new creation, a son of God, and now he owns you.
Yes.
Okay? For thus saith the Lord, verse 25, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Amen?
Amen.
Did you ever try to deliver the prey from a animal of prey?
They won't let you have it.
You know what? I did it one time.
You did?
There was a snake that was in the process of swallowing a frog.
Ah!
And I said, not that I like frogs, but I hate snakes.
Yeah.
I said, no way, buddy.
Cut the head off?
No. I pulled the frog out.
Ah!
He was only about half, part way in.
Ah!
I pulled him out, gave him a toss, and he bounced away. Then I dealt with a snake.
Get rid of that snake.
No, because it's a picture of the lawful prey. That snake, he could say, I own that frog.
Mm-hmm.
I tricked him. He got close to me. I got him.
God put that there for
mm-hmm.
food for me.
And for shall the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Amen. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. In other words, God's saying, the enemy that's coming against you, I will contend with him.
Amen.
Amen. And I, listen to this, and I will save thy children.
Amen.
Do you want to apply that? How many of you got children that need saving?
Amen.
Yes, and I will save thy children.
Hallelujah.
Well, if you don't have children that need saving, then you have grandchildren that need saving. Or great-grandchildren, or however many old you are, and however many generations you've got. They need saving.
Right.
Hallelujah. All right, back to David. My time is really flying along here. Let's go over to 1 Samuel 24. There's so much in David's life. 1 Samuel 24. The first five verses here. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Now, Saul was chasing David. All right?
Yeah.
He had no right to.
Right.
Saul was an emissary of the devil. He was a king that had an obsession with killing David.
He hated him. Yeah.
Because God loved him,
right.
Therefore Saul hated him. So Saul was acting like the devil here. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David. 3,000 men to arrest one little David. Hello? Isn't this a little overkill?
Yeah.
Yes. And his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. I don't think there's any wild goats in Israel anymore either.
Probably not. They've been all sacrificed.
And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men... Am I reading the right verse here?
Scripture?
Yeah, I'm reading it. Okay. His men remained in the sides of the cave, and the men of David said to him, "Behold this... the day of which the Lord said to thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good to thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to afterwards that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Amen. You know what? I read the wrong one.
Yeah, where was it supposed to be?
It's supposed to be 23, chapter 23. All right, I'm sorry, I apologize. It says here, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." All right, here's the devil again, robbing God's people.
Yeah.
This is another tactic that the devil has. He robs God's people of their resources. He robs them of money.
Yep.
He robs them of their time. If he can't get your money, he'll consume you with troubles, and that you have to spend all day resolving your troubles and getting the thing straightened out.
Yep, that's what he does. Wears you down.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Just cause you to make mistakes.
Yep.
Well, that's what the devil does, is he torments God's people, yep. And he robs them.
Yeah.
The thief cometh to what?
Rob,
kill, steal, and destroy. Okay? So, they were robbing the threshing floors of the city of Keilah. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." And David's men said unto him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah, how much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand." Amen. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now, here's the enemy coming against God's people. Here's the sons of God coming to save God's people
mm-hmm.
from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
A great victory. Now, did the people of Keilah just love David and say, "Hey, boy, we really love you, and anything we can do for you from now on"?
No,
they did not.
No.
He saved them.
Right.
But when Saul came along...
Yeah.
David again inquired of the Lord, "Saul and his army are coming along to take me. What's going to happen if we stay here in the city of Keilah? Are they going to turn me in to Saul and have me killed?" And the Lord said, "Yes, they will.
Yeah.
They'll turn you in.
Right. Get out of there."
So much for their gratitude.
Right. Right.
So basically, David, hit the road. Get out of here. If you stay in this city, it's going to be a trap for you.
Yep.
All right, that's one example. Just hold on here. Let me give you a few more. The 30th chapter. And we come to Ziklag. Now, David was on the run again. This is almost the end of David's running time. Just before he became king. He was kind of in cohorts with the Philistines, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, but sort of. The Philistines didn't really trust him. They didn't really want him in their battles against Israel. And God kept David out of it. So David would go out and he would raid the Amorites and the Amalekites and what have you. Well, they left the women and children in Ziklag, which the Philistines had given him. They gave him this little place called Ziklag. And when David and his men came back, weary, tired, what happened? The Amalekites, I think it's right here, it is the Amalekites, isn't it?
Invaded.
Yeah, the Amalekites had invaded from the south. Yeah, the Amalekites. The third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was smitten, Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives, and that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Family was taken captives. Amen. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahimoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Why? Because the people spoke of stoning him. They were going to kill him.
Yeah.
Here's your loyal men that are loyal to you.
It's the same thing.
Do you think the spirit of betrayal has gone out today?
It's still there.
People are betraying one another yet today.
Oh, yeah, I'm in that.
Loyal army said it's David's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David was just as distressed as they were.
Yeah.
I mean, his children, his wives were gone as well as their wives and children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
They needed somebody to blame.
But yeah, they needed somebody to blame.
Yeah.
Because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. But here's how to overcome.
Encourage yourself in the Lord.
They were not turning to the Lord, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Amen.
And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son. Oh, it was Ahimelech, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Abiathar, I pray thee, bring me hither an ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.
Amen.
Now, when the enemy has robbed you, you have a right to demand it back. You're not only going to give me back what you took, but you're going to give me twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
Because you robbed me.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, go against the devil.
Mm-hmm.
He has no right to rob you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Return to me the money that I need, that you stole from me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Bring it all back.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And if the devil caused me to waste it unwisely, I'm taking authority over that wasteful spirit. I'm not going to spend my money for that which is not meat. From now on, I will not spend it on vanity. Hallelujah. But I'm going to use it for my needs.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. And you know what? They did. They recovered all. They found a boy that had been with them, that they had abandoned. I think it was a slave boy, an Egyptian. And they gave him bread, and he gave him a drink, and he told them where they were going. He said, they're up that way. And David went up that way, and he found them, and they were dancing and having a big party, getting drunk. I think they were. Am I right here? Here, verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing. Yeah, they were getting drunk and having a good time. because of the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them save 400 young men which rode on camels and fled. Only the camel jockeys got away. Amen. All right, one more passage here. 2 Samuel, let's go to verse 5. And we're going to come to verse 17. Now, David is a new king at this point now. Saul has died. And when the Philistines heard, verse 17, that they had anointed David king over Israel, that's chapter 5, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. He went into the stronghold.
Yep.
Okay. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. How many of you are getting an idea what this word Philistine means spiritually? Philistines.
It's
Philistines.
Liars.
Yeah, it's the devil's people.
Right, right.
The devil's people.
Right.
Philistine is in the land of Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same word. I really think it's the same word. I think it's the same word. The land of the Philistines. Okay? They were spread out all over the valley. Okay? And David inquired of the Lord. Notice that David is inquiring of the Lord when he goes to fight the devil. Should I have added that? Inquire of the Lord. David had the word of the Lord when he went out against Goliath. David didn't just do this on his own. He had the word of the Lord to do that. And the same thing with the people of Keilah. Okay? Now, we're down in verse 19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David inquired. David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of the place Baal Perazim, which means breaking forth. Okay? And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them.
Amen.
So these men, these Philistines, left their gods there.
Yeah.
And David is destroying their gods.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to destroy every god that we have that is more important than Jesus Christ or the kingdom of God. Every idolatry that we have. Everything that we think is more important. Amen. I'm talking about warfare here. We're talking about real warfare. Okay? And the Philistines came up yet again. You see, here's the point. The enemy doesn't give up. You get him a little bit whipped, he'll go home and he'll recover, but he'll be back.
Yeah.
And he's coming back for another fight because he still thinks he can get you. The devil, by the way, the devil is not just giving up because we won a couple victories.
Right.
He has to be killed. His head has to be taken off.
Right.
Like David did Goliath. You know, that Goliath probably wasn't dead. He fell down. I mean, you put a stone that embeds in your skull here a little bit, and you're going to fall down. But you know what? He might have recovered. Had David not, taken his head off.
Right.
Okay. The Philistines came up yet again, verse 22, and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Spread out to make it, to cause what? To cause fear to come into your heart. Oh, there's too many of them. There's no way. They're too powerful. They've got lawyers. The lawyers are writing me letters. I mean, they've got politicians behind the lawyers that are, they're saying there's no way you can win, there's no way you can have... No. They're spread out. They're all over the place. But you know what? We can still win. God can still give us victory. I could tell you story after story of how we won victories over things that should have been absolutely impossible. Because the town, the big shots, the politicians, they were against it. And God said, no. I told you to do thus and thus, and you're going to win. Oh, yes. I mean, I don't go after these every day, but when they come your way, you have to fight.
And God will give you the wisdom.
Amen. And when David inquired of the Lord, verse 23, he said, "Thou shalt not go up." Don't do like you did the other time. You're going to do it different this time. "But fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." So in other words, don't go straight at them, God is saying. Go around behind them.
Yeah.
You're going to take them from the other direction this time.
Right.
Okay? "And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going or a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees." What was God doing? There was no natural soldiers marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. What was he hearing? He was hearing the angelic host.
Right. Mm-hmm.
David, when the angelic host shows up, then it's time for your battle.
The trees.
And they could hear the sound up in the top of the mulberry trees. The host of heaven had come.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. Now, if David had gone straight out against them like he did the first time, what would have happened? They would have lost big time. David might have even been killed. You see, when you're fighting the devil, you have to do it God's way.
Yes.
And you have to inquire the Lord. And you have to do it in the right time.
Right.
You know, and the same thing goes. You want deliverance, you want to bring deliverance to somebody, you're going to have to wait until God says it's time, and then you're going to have to do it in God's time and order.
Right.
Yeah. Patsy remembers, we saw deliverance of somebody one time that was not ready for it. And I tell you what, I learned a lesson. It stung me so that I said, I'm never going to do that again. Yeah, you can just hound the enemy and forcibly drive the enemy out of somebody that doesn't want the devil driven out of them. And you know what's going to happen? He'll be back. And that person's going to be worse than they ever were before. You've got to do it. You know, God lets you make some mistakes in His mercy, but you better learn from them.
Right.
You better learn from them. You better not do it that way again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou comest to Gezer, which is Gaza. The Gaza Strip.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord. I never got to Joshua, but we've got some good battles with you. I could do a lot more battles of David. I just picked a few out.
Yeah.
But these are some key, and I think there's something that we need to learn in, you know, we're not fighting Philistines, brethren.
Right.
We're fighting these things.
Right.
We're fighting lustines, vanities, pridines, hatredines, jealousines, fearines, ites, fearites, I'll call them ites, Canaanites. This is what we're fighting. Not flesh and blood,
right. But
spiritual issues.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. Yeah.